All right, and we are at the top of the hour. Luke, are we ready to get going?
Yeah, let me click the button to start, and we'll wait a good 30 seconds, and then we'll be ready.
Charles, you have like this little branch that looks like it's sticking out. It's probably a drapery rod, isn't it, Hook?
Yeah.
It's just this random like branch.
Well, it's better than when I have this lampshade on my head. So.
Are we good to go, Luke?
We are good to go.
All right, fabulous. Welcome. I will call this meeting of the City Council of the City of Atascadero to order, and I will lead us in a pledge to the flag. And I'll ask everyone else to mute, and I'll stand up and stop my camera so you're not looking at my belly.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Here.
Councilmember Darris?
Here.
Councilmember Funk?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Here.
Mayor Moreno?
Here.
They're all present.
Yes, we are. Thank you. Well, if you're watching or listening to our City Council meeting tonight, we welcome you. If you would like to speak during the time that is set aside for community forum or during public comment for one of the items on the agenda, you can do so in a couple of ways. If you're on the webinar, you can simply raise your hand and we'll call on you. You can also call in, and that phone number is 805-538-2888 to provide public comment via phone. And when you do call, let us know which item you would like to speak on. And once again, that number is 805-538-2888. And with that, I will ask if we have a motion to approve the agenda.
So move.
Second.
Right. I have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Borbo, and I'm sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Newsom. We're 3 months in, and I'm still getting used to it. We will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk.
Yes.
Councilmember Borbo.
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar. Our consent calendar contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff, and they can be approved in one motion unless there's a member of the council or the public who wishes to remove an item to comment or ask questions. And with that, I will look to my colleagues to see if there's any member of the council wishing to pull a consent item. Councilmember Funk?
I think there was a correction to the minutes that the clerk was going to give us.
Laura, is that something that you need to mention?
Yes, I will. When you get to staff, I will make my announcement then.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Councilmember Funk. And seeing none, let's see, I'm moving to the attendees. I'm seeing a Ms. Maggie Payne. Maggie, if you are looking to pull a consent item, that's what I'm thinking you might mean. So let's pull you on. Okay, Maggie put her hand down, so possibly not. Okay. Luke, is there anyone on the phone wishing to pull an item?
There is not.
And I will ask our city clerk, is there anyone who has emailed in any comments on our consent calendar?
No, there has not been any emails.
Okay, thank you. And with that, may I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
Really quick, I just wanted to point out that in the minutes, there is a change in the minutes for the goal setting workshop. There was the correction to on page 204 of the minutes. There was a correction in the strategic priorities. One of the priorities was listed twice. So that priority has been fixed, and it now reflects fiscal and infrastructure efficiency and sustainability. And also wanted to point out that on the SB 1090 fund allocation on recommendation 4, where it talks about the classification, there's been a request to change that title from Deputy Community Development Director, Economic Development and Long Range Planning to Economic and Community Development. And that is a non-substantive change, so we can make that with the motion as it stands.
Can you say that change again on the title? I don't know that.
Sure, it's just economic and community development. So it would still be Deputy Community Development Director dash economic and community development.
I see. So just clarifying a little bit more. That
yes.
Got it. All right. Thank you. And with that, I think we had a motion by Councilmember Bourbeau and Councilmember Funk. Is that a second?
Yeah, I'll second with those changes.
Wonderful. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau.
Yes.
Councilmember Funk.
Yes.
Councilmember Darris.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
Yes.
Mayor Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And now we are on to updates from our city manager. I'll turn it over to Ms. Rickard.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. I want to make sure you guys can see my screen tonight.
Yes, we can.
All right. I apologize. The first item I want to talk to you about is an upcoming sewer line construction project on the Itasketa Mall. This project will likely begin next week and continue through May, potentially into the first part of June. We'll be boring a new sewer line underneath the highway, and the work will affect traffic on Atascadero Mall. So a work zone will be set up in front of Atascadero Bible Church near the pedestrian tunnel. A temporary detour will route traffic coming from Atascadero Avenue and traveling towards Ardea onto the other side of the center median on Atascadero Mall, temporarily creating two-way traffic on the Echo side of the median. So right now that's one way towards the high school. It will become two-way traffic, so you can still get through there. And the side by ABC Church will be one way. It will be in and out, but you can only get to the church. You're not going to be able to get around. Motorists are being encouraged to be sure to pay close attention to the detour and to plan for a little extra time if traveling through the area if necessary. The next one's a good news item, and I want to send out a big thank you and shout out to Kiwanis volunteers. Kiwanis has a graffiti team that for years has been taking the place of Councilmember Bourbeau, the single man graffiti team that we had in the past, covering up stuff. So I want everybody to join us in thanking the Kiwanis anti-graffiti team, including Bill Marinick, Pat Lynch, Mike Marquez, Dennis Howland, and Bob Friedrichson for recently abating the graffiti under the bridge and under Highway 101. And helping keeping our city beautiful. They very quickly did an amazing job, and we always appreciate their hard work. And if anyone has an interest in helping Kiwanis with graffiti removal, reach out to the city manager's office or Terry Banish, tbanish at atascadero.org, and we're happy to get you in touch with the graffiti team so you too can help with this very glamorous job. Not very glamorous, very, very much appreciated, though. I want to remind everybody. What's that?
I assume it was kind of fun when I did it.
Well, there we go. You can't say it was glamorous, though, right?
No, it was not glamorous. It was not glamorous.
And it was very much appreciated, still is. We have our affordable housing study session that will be held this Thursday, March 11th at 6 p.m. It will be a virtual meeting, and we'll have a preliminary discussion on the city's affordable housing strategy, looking for goals and objectives of what you want to see out of your affordable housing ordinance, and trying to figure that out. The city currently has an affordable housing policy. We need to update that and adopt an ordinance, and this is when we're strategizing. How do we want to make that work? Great news. We were talked about Galaxy Theater last week, and lo and behold, on Friday, Galaxy Theater was able to open. If just like everybody else on the planet, you haven't been out to the movies in a while, now's the time to go. Galaxy Theater is now open for businesses on the weekends, and they begin to add more movies. Their open days and business hours will expand. If you want to check out what's playing, go to visitatascadero.com for the link to Galaxy Theater, or just look up Galaxy Theater Atascadero. It is absolutely fantastic to see them open. And I know Mayor Moreno had the pleasure of going this weekend, so that's pretty exciting that we can do that. Want to tell you about some more exciting news. So Juice Boss Delivers now has an Atascadero store location. Amy Enolander, and I apologize, Amy, I know I probably slaughtered that last name there, who has been a juicer for 35 years, is the owner and manager of Juice Boss. She produces delicious organic juices right here in Atascadero. And Amy's great success with her local juice delivery service and with her sales at Farmers Market resulted in her opening a physical store last November located at 5940 Entrada. I'm right here in the heart of our downtown. The store is usually open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., but she stays open a little later, usually till 5:30 on Wednesday evenings for her Atascadero Farmers Market crowd. She also offers doorbell service starting at 7:30 a.m. Tuesday through Fridays. Just ring the doorbell, they'll open the door, and you will get fresh juice. So Amy's entire selection of organic juices are listed on her website at juicebossdelivers.com. And that's Juice Boss, B-O-S-S. We have another nice addition to Atascadero. The Garrett family of Irish Oaks Ranch has brought their ranch to the city. So their new store, The Mercantile, is located at 7425 El Camino Real. At The Mercantile, you can find handmade soaps made specially from the Irish Oaks Ranch and much more. They also feature a variety of other locally grown ranch-made products, including items from Hambly Farms in San Miguel, the Groves on 41 of Atascadero Templeton, and Twisselman Trading Company in Santa Margarita. So welcome to Irish Oaks Ranch Mercantile. Go check out their store. It's wonderful. And then two more fun businesses have opened in town, Lulu Cheese Girl and Clementine Cupcake Company. Both of these new businesses are located at 8793 Plata Lane, Suite C. They've joined forces to share a retail space and are open Friday through Sunday. Information for both of these enterprises can be found online at the Lulu Cheese Girl website, on Facebook, and on Instagram. So lots of nice new businesses moving here to town. It's exciting as we're just starting to open up, having these new places to go. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that council may have.
I love all the creative and crafty and quite tasty.
Yes.
that are located here, so that's fabulous. Do we have any questions from the council for the city manager? Councilmember Funk.
Can you clarify the probable duration of that sewer repair work that will be complicating traffic around the high school?
I will let Nick, if Nick is on, he'll be able to tell you more. It's my understanding it's a 3 to 4 week duration of the project that will probably take place. What did it say?
Yeah, it's probably going to be about a month to month and a half duration. So we'll go pretty quick, but We'll take a couple extra days. We initially were planning on having it poured from the other side on La Plaza, but it got way too tight between the La Plaza and our Park Plaza construction. There was no room. So we actually, our contractor, Rob Reynolds, was great and was able to make some adjustments. But it will take a couple extra days doing it on the other side. But we're hoping if we start next week, that would put it, probably to the end of April or into May, maybe early May. So, but the good news is we can have two lanes of traffic going through there and should all be good.
Great. Thank you. And then after this work is done, am I correct in understanding that the old sewer line will be available for use as conduit if we had somebody wanting to run, say, fiber optic cable through there?
Right. So the old sewer line, which will be abandoned in place, Caltrans is making us fill it, like, so it's not a void or something that could make, a sinkhole up above on 101. But we will pull some conduits through it for some ducts, and then those will be kind of cemented in place, and we'll be able to use those for fiber optics or whatever else we need.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Ms. Rickard. And with that, we will move on to community forum. Community forum is reserved for persons who want to address the council on any matter that is not on our agenda this evening and over which we have jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. We ask that you would state your name for the record before making your comments, and a maximum of 30 minutes will be allowed for community forum this evening. We will have a timer running, so you'll be able to see your time if you're on the webinar. And with that, I will look to hands raised by attendees to speak on any item not on our agenda this evening. All right, I see Ms. Payne up first.
Hello again from the We Are the Care Initiative. My name is Maggie Payne. Every year during the month of March, we celebrate National Women's History Month to honor the contributions women have made to society throughout time and the strides that have been made toward gender equality. Unfortunately, the childcare crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic have undone much of the progress made over the years in what is now being called a female recession. For the first time since the 1970s, there has been a decline in women's presence in the labor force. Even a 5% drop threatens to undo 25 years of progress. This recession is due to income inequality that persists to this day between men and women and the strains the pandemic has placed on families. Men are still more typically the breadwinners. When a choice needs to be made of who will sacrifice their career to either stay home with the children due to a lack of childcare or work from home, mothers are more likely to step out of their jobs to support their family's current needs. Attempting to work from home while trying to care for young children or older children who are distance learning is nearly impossible. So the resulting career loss can be devastating. Even before 2020, the childcare crisis was already impacting working mothers due to limited access to quality and affordable care. But COVID has now forced at least 2,500 licensed centers to permanently shut their doors in California alone, creating an even more dire situation. Not having access to childcare has put a mental and emotional strain on these mothers who must now try to save their career, care for their children, and continue to support their family and household. While it seems that women leaving the workforce in droves would only affect those who are part of the fallout, the ripple effect will be seen in our economy and will have lasting negative effects on our society. This is why we need to continue to support childcare in our community and why we need to value the contributions women make to the workforce. We Are the Care asks that as this council makes its decisions for the city of Atascadero, it keeps the childcare sector and gender equity in mind. In doing so, you can help alleviate the women's recession and support the hardworking women that are in our community. For ways to get involved with We Are the Care, please contact First 5 San Luis Obispo County or go to first5slo.org. Thank you so much for your time. We'll be back next month for Month of the Child and with more information about the hashtag Kids Are Essential campaign.
Thank you, Ms. Payne. I'm seeing some other hands, and there are some familiar hands, and I'm thinking that these individuals may be wanting to speak with regards to the timing for agendizing community choice energy. And if that is what you want to speak about, that is on our agenda a little bit later this evening under the city manager's individual determination, at which time we will open up public comment to discuss that issue. So if that is what you want to speak on, and that's the only topic you're looking to speak on right now, I would ask that you lower your hand and come back and be speaking during that item. But if there's anything else that you want to speak on, we certainly do want to hear from you at this time. Looking to any hands that we might have up. Luke, do we have anyone calling in right now that would like to speak on a community forum?
We do not.
Okay. I do see Mr. Oslin has now raised his hand.
Good evening, Council. A couple things. Your last council meeting, you had a lot of ordinance changes through the planning department in Phil's office. And there's a couple of items that I'm still concerned about. One is how we handle the regulation, what's defined as junk. And I think, even though I do have a meeting with city staff regarding it and discussing it, I'm concerned about subjective enforcement, and I think our council needs to revisit this. As you drive around town, there are spots that definitely have problems, and then there's spots that I might even be in a violation on the 200 square feet area, even though it's not junk. I'm just not sure of the determination there, and I have taken some photos around town. So I'm worried about subjectiveness when the council changes or city manager changes or police department chief changes down the line. Spirit of the law or spirit of an ordinance definitely could have major impact. Secondly, I also think we need to come back and look at the sound wall and the barrier of downstream retaining walls, if you will. Because I think it also affects some people upstream, depending on what's happening. I'm seeing development in our city, which is great, but I don't think it affects downstream. I think it affects upstream. So maybe it's something that, before it's done, we can discuss that as well. I will reserve, obviously, comments regarding community-based power. However, I can say this much. It was not a priority in strategic planning.
Let's in fairness, let's please wait until the...
Okay, item. You got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm done. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Oslin. If there's anyone else wishing to speak, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any. I will ask our city clerk if we have anyone who has written in for community forum this evening.
We have not had anyone write in.
Okay, thank you. And seeing no other hands, I will go ahead and close the community forum portion of our meeting. And thank you very much to Ms. Payne for always keeping us informed about what you're doing and for advocating as strongly as you do for child care, particularly in our county. And to Mr. Oslin, you say you're getting together with city staff, so let's start there to see if we can get your questions answered and any concerns addressed. And with that, we will move on to our public hearing. First one, or the only one tonight, is item B1, the 2021 Community Development Block Grant Funding Recommendations. And I will start by asking if, since our last meeting, if there's any ex parte. Am I seeing any ex parte? Okay, I'm seeing no ex parte from any council members. I have none myself. And so I will hand this over to Mr. Nick DeBar, our Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. Good evening, City Council. Tonight's item, actually, I don't have a presentation because I think I'm hoping it'll be pretty quick. We actually had a public hearing back on December 8th where the City Council deliberated distribution of the 2021 CDBG funds. And we received 9 applications. The council looked at all of those. We had a lively discussion on it. And And tonight, we're just bringing back the final recommendations. So the county still doesn't have the final numbers, but they happy to report the ones that, as you remember, there's an $8,000 threshold for all of these to be able to be viable option. ECHO has other monies from Paso Robles and some other places, so they meet that threshold. CASA also, they're the one, they actually have funding from SLO, Paso Robles, and us, and $2,500 apiece, but the county, as I mentioned in the staff report, will make sure that they hit that $8,000 threshold. And then five cities also received quite a bit of amount, over $38,000 from some other cities. So really, tonight, staff is just looking for consensus by the council that your draft recommendations from December are still viable. And if so, we will send those on to the county. And then any final numbers, we will appropriate proportionally to all of these once those come in. So I guess with that, Mayor, I can turn it back to you and see if you have any questions.
Thank you, Director. And I do understand that Ms. Tardif with CASA is on the line tonight on our webinar. I would like to bring her on because I know that was a question that a particular note that Council Member Gorbo had brought up to have a better understanding of where those funds would be directed. And so if we could bring her on.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the chance to speak. Thank you, City Council and staff. Yes, I think I'm only here to answer, I guess, exactly where the money will go to, because you've already reviewed our application and had staff recommendations. Our work with children is done primarily by volunteers. And but the staff do case management. So this would be allocated to pay. We have an Atascadero office, and we have two advocate supervisors in there. And the staff provide direct services to children in the form of they go to court, they attend IEPs. Mr. Borbo, is that the kind of thing that you were asking about?
Well, actually, having been a CASA, my questions actually pertain to five Cities Homeless Coalition, just ensuring that they actually had an activity in Atascadero. I knew that, you know, CASA has an activity and you know, works with Atascadero youth. My question pertained more to five cities.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the recommendation for funding. I was also going to inform you that when we applied, this was our first time. We didn't know about this $8,000 threshold. And so came up with the $7,500. And we're hoping that and one of the cities would put in the other $500. But I hear from Mr. DeBar that the county has said that they would make up the rest of that amount. And so we're very pleased and just want to say thank you for your support.
Thank you, Ms. Tardif. And yes, Councilmember Borbo, I thought you had specifically called that out at the last meeting. So I think several of us had thought that. Anyway, we got some extra information, so that never hurts. Thank you for being here this evening.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And so I will look to my colleagues and ask if there are any questions of staff before we go to public comment. Yes, Councilmember Funk.
Not a question, but I could, may I address Councilmember Brabeau's question? Through my work on the representing our city on the Homeless Services Oversight Council, I'm familiar that Five Cities Homeless Coalition does a lot of the rapid rehousing work throughout the county, and has definitely served Atascadero residents and will continue to do so. They often work in partnership with ECHO, as ECHO's got somebody that maybe is ready to get housed but needs a little help on the security deposit or some of that kind of thing. That's where they work with Five Cities.
All right, thank you. Yeah, that's what I was interested in hearing.
Thank you. And just to let the public know, as our director said, we went through a lengthy process in December, and as you might expect, there is always more need than there is money. And so we go through the process of doing the best
we can to discern where to allocate that best for our city and for the needs that we have. So with that, we will go ahead and open it up to public comment. I will look to the hands to see if there's anyone in the webinar that would wish to speak. Luke, is there anyone on the phone?
There is not.
And I will ask our city clerk if there is anybody who has written in on this item.
No, we have not received any emails.
Okay, seeing no hands, no one writing in, we will go ahead and bring that back to council and look for a motion.
I'll move. We approve staff's recommendation for the distribution of CDBG funds.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bourbeau and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darius?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk? Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
And Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
And with that, I forgot to unmute myself, but that was me.
And with that, we'll move on to management reports. We have one this evening, and that is a review of public input on D20 and other priorities. And I will turn this over to our Administrative Services Director, Ms. Jerry Rangel.
Actually, Mayor, I'm going to be giving the presentation tonight.
Yes.
So, fantastic. Hopefully you can see the screen.
Yes, we can.
Okay. So this is meeting number 12 out of our 20 meetings that we're going to have specifically dedicated to adopting a budget, including a budget for D20 funds this June. It is intended to be a recap of the information from your February 19th and 20 goal-setting session, reviewing some of the information that was presented to the council and reviewing the high-level priorities that were determined by the council, and then just going over next steps. So as I said, this is meeting number 12. We started with a council kickoff session on January 12th. We held 9 study sessions from January 14th through February 6th. Council had a goal-setting session that started on the evening of February 19th and then continued on the morning through the morning of February 20th. Tonight, we will be reviewing that goal-setting session. For those that could not attend, want to know what are the high-level goals that the council is asking staff to pursue. From there, we're going to bring back a detailed action plan on April 27th, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. We will have finance committees, a total of 6 finance committees that we highly encourage the public to attend. And then finally, we will come back with the budget on June 8th. What goes into developing the budget and the public input? Obviously, for Measure D20, we started with talk on the block. We did a survey of likely voters or registered voters that was statistically valid to get a pulse of what was important to the community and whether they wanted to consider a sales tax measure to actually achieve some of those things. Obviously, a lot of people come to public comment like they are tonight. The council receives regular emails, as does city staff. We have discussions with people. All of the council members, all of the staff members are members of the community, and we certainly have a lot of discussions about what people want to see and where they want to go. We had the video that staff presented and staff discussions both amongst ourselves. And, in public settings like this with the council, as well as the one-on-one meetings. And then, of course, the most important ones are the study sessions themselves and the last 9 study sessions. So lots and lots of public input. For the study sessions, we had 135 overall participants. The majority of those participants were able to dedicate the full hour and a half. They were very lively sometimes and very productive, and most of the time very positive 1.5 hour sessions where we took a lot of time really trying to understand and make sure that everybody was engaged and able to submit their point of views. We had 6 questions that we asked each of the participants in a brainstorming small group setting. And there are 150 pages of responses. Those are the actual notes that we took on screen during those breakout sessions. And those are available on the city website. So down on the right-hand corner on the main page, you'll see Measure D20 Sales Tax, Frequently Asked Questions. If you click on that, that'll bring you to a whole bunch of information about Measure D20. The video that the staff did is on there, along with all 150 pages of public input from those 9 study sessions. What were the 6 questions we asked? You'll notice there's only 5 up here. But we asked, what is going well in the city? We asked what things big and small would make Atascadero better. Got a variety of answer to both of those. We asked, the city has promised to spend some of these funds on expenses that have been put off a long time. Which of these things do you think are the most important? And we really phrased that more in the most urgent, and which could be delayed a little bit longer. And then we asked them a visioning type question. You know, if the city spent the D20s perfectly and we had the perfect Atascadero, what would success look like? And we asked, how should the city measure that success? What do you want to see when we're done so that we know, you know, we're getting you the information you have that you want? The last question, item 6, is what didn't we ask? You know, what information do you want us us to gather that council should know? You know, what other information do you want us to pass on to council? And so that was question 6. So we ended up doing word clouds for the council for the strategic planning for each of the answers. Words that are bigger were the words that appeared more often in the notes that we took and what we heard from the community. So on what is going well in the city, we heard a lot of positive things about the downtown and the growth of the downtown and the change in the downtown in the last few years, along with La Plaza. La Plaza came up quite a bit. People are excited to have that here in town. They had a lot of positive things to say about employees. It was really good to hear some of that. You know, a lot of times in these jobs, you hear a lot of the negative. It's great to hear some of that positive outreach. They love the feeling, the small town feeling, the feeling of community and cohesiveness of the town. They were happy with, you know, some of the things that we're doing with the road program and F-14 and a lot of other things. There's a lot of answers up there, recognizing our nonprofits and volunteer groups. They just liked the friendly, good feeling of Atascadero. Then we went to the flip side. Okay, what is it that would make us better? What things big? Everything from, you know, finding a solution for the homeless to small, hey, I really want the pothole in front of my house fixed, you know, and got a lot of different answers. Staffing and fire and police tended to be, and homeless, tended to be the ones that we heard the most often. Different variations of those, you know, what those needs are, what those should look like. There was a lot of concern about being able to retain our employees, our police in particular, but, you know, when asked, a lot of them said, no, it's all of the employees. People want to feel safe. People are, concerned with the feeling of not being safe, particularly, you know, walking at night and stuff in some of our areas where we have some others hanging out that make people nervous and feel unsafe. They want to make sure that we have equipment and facilities and all of those things to be staffed. And then there were a variety of other things. You know, the more small words you see, or the kind of the variety didn't fit into these categories, from broadband to, I don't know, Santa Lucia came up on evacuations, pedestrian safety, development, various training, and a lot of other things. When we ask people what has been put off for a long time that is urgent, typically it was, you know, fire, police, safety, and staff in general. These are things that everybody wants to make sure that police, fire, and in general, all safety staff have the facilities, the equipment, and the staffing that we need to be able to perform the jobs, and talked about making sure that we can retain the staff and that we can hire enough staff to get the job done. This one was a hard one for other people. People, you know, on what is not as urgent, there weren't as many answers, so all of the words are big. You know, and you heard lake and zoo and roads and repairs and parks and staffing. You'll see some of these are on both of them, right? Some people think this is incredibly urgent. Other people think, hey, this is not as urgent. I think most everybody that we talked to, that were at least in my small groups, felt that everything was important and had a hard time prioritizing. And if they did, you know, I tried to force them, okay, not everything can be number one, kind of like I do to you guys. What is it that's over here? And so, you know, tended to want to say, hey, we still think these are important, but maybe not as important as the other ones or as urgent. What would success look like? This one was a lot of fun. A lot of people would say that success looked like a vibrant, thriving downtown, that it's continuing on the trajectory, that we have those shops and restaurants that we all want to see, that we have adequate police staffing and we all feel safe, and fire has a nice new fire station and the equipment and the facilities that they need. We still always keep that sense of community, of helping each other, of wanting to be together, and that small town feel. Again, to really get a good sense of what's in here, I highly, highly encourage everybody, go look at those responses. There's a lot of very thoughtful input that people gave, and some really good ideas. How should success be measured? We heard a lot of different things, from, you know, employee retention to, hey, we should do surveys afterwards, do another survey in a couple of years. Are people happy? What's going on? We have, you know, how are we doing on staffing of our police department or staffing of the apartments compared to other communities? You know, a lot of different ideas for that. Return on investment, growth, anyway, a lot of things. And then we didn't have a lot of different things. Kind of as we ran to the end of the hour and a half, there wasn't a ton of time for, you know, what else should the council know. But people always had the opportunity. We said, hey, you know, we're happy to stay late and do it. There were a couple of things on different revenues or grants that we should go chase down, thoughts of appreciation for staff. There was a lot of appreciation for the study sessions, and that was a good thing. And so overall, it was a very productive 9 study sessions, I thought. And we went over all of these with the council at strategic planning or goal setting on the February 19th and 20th. What we also did on the 19th and 20th is we had some facilitators, and they had gone through all of that public input from those 9 study sessions, along with interviewing the council members and interviewing the department head team on things that are very important, and came up with about 60 different recurring themes in there. And from those 60 recurring theme, council then broke those items into 4 focus areas. You said, okay, these 60 themes can really be broken out into 4. And for those 4 focus areas, we broke into small groups. So we broke into 2 groups at a time. Each group took a different theme, and we defined the theme and discussed the focus areas in that. So what were those focus areas? The first one was economic and community vibrancy, which meant to the group that is creating the environment and services to nurture quality and diverse economic, recreational, and community connections that create prosperity and enrich our genuine, authentic community. So there was a lot of discussion that went into that definition that really gave a lot of, meaning to that, and what was that, and what is that, what is the council vision for that. Some of the key focus areas were the downtown, events and recreations, safe and hospitable business work environment, and then business infrastructure, technology, and support. The next focus area was fiscal and infrastructure efficiency and sustainability. It was defined as continuing to be responsible and accountable stewards of our resources now and into the future by efficiently and effectively investing in modern and reliable infrastructure and equipment and maintaining financial stability regardless of economic conditions. And they said that can be summed up with staff has the tools, technology, and resources they need to do their job. The key focus areas were asset management, replacement, and modernization. For those that don't speak accounting, that means equipment, facilities, things that you need to do to do this. Financial strategies and plans, and transparency and accountability, making sure that the public has the ability and the gets told of opportunities of to provide input and look and see what's being done. Another focus area was ensuring public safety and providing exceptional city services. And that was defined as that we have the tools, resources, and professional staffing necessary to create and maintain an environment where our community, and community was defined as residents, businesses, visitors, and staff, feel safe, served, and mutually respected. And under there, some of the key focus areas are staffing, the unhoused population, and community engagement. And the last focus area was quality of life, which meant we are embracing our warm, friendly atmosphere and building on our sense of community by providing attractions, open spaces, outdoor interactions, and a variety of things to do for all. A Tascadero where everybody knows your name and is willing to lend a hand. That kind of captured that feeling of community, of helping one another. And the key focus areas for quality of life are things to do. We want to make sure we're always welcoming and inclusive, and that we're supporting our families. So that was very high level. Those were high level goals, but there was a lot of robust discussion to get to that. And there was a few other things that are part of that. So where do you go from there? How do you take that and turn it into a budget where you're actually putting dollars to certain things. Well, the next steps are the department head strategic planning. So the department heads will be working with the facilitators to develop a draft action plan. And we're preparing and researching information needed for your April 27th meeting. What that means is we're out there looking for solutions to move us towards those areas of priority. Where do we want to do? What programs can we implement? What things can we do that? What are the costs of those things? What does implementation look like? We're going to bring back to you a plan that we think is going to, with dollars attached to it, and options to your April 27th meeting, where you guys will have the opportunity to talk about the different options, talk about, hey, is this where, does this program achieve what we want it to achieve? Is that something we want to fund? Hey, we don't want to, you know, I'm more worried about this. I think we should fund this a little bit more and that a little bit less, and have that discussion there so that we can then take that information and develop the budget through May. So April 27th is a key date. That's where you actually, us finance people, have numbers attached. We always feel better when there's numbers attached to different actions and can start doing that. But what the council did on February 19th and 20 drives all of that. We're just coming up with the solutions for that. So tonight, all I'm asking is that council receive and file the review of the goal setting. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rickard. And I do want to thank, I see several members of the public who were also at our strategic planning. I see Christina and Jeff, Josh, I see Tori. So several of you were involved in that. So if you saw the city manager go over those four areas and how we describe and define what those areas are and the real key components to it, that was council along with staff, along with the public, pulling this together, of course, using the D20 input. And so we had a really, I think, quite enjoyable time doing that. It was a much better process over Zoom than most of us could have imagined it being. And we had some very good facilitators who helped with that. And I imagine they will be a tremendous help to staff as we move forward. And so this is really the time that we wanted to, the purpose of this meeting is really for those of you that have been involved throughout the process, but maybe you haven't seen the final, I'm not going to say the final outcome, just sort of the high level strategy of it. And before staff delves into the details, we wanted to show this and make sure the public is aware of the direction that we're going. And if council has any questions, of course, regarding what we've put here, we really won't have many because we had a big hand in putting this together. But I will open it up to council questions and then we will go to the public. So are there any of my colleagues who have a question? Yes, fantastic. Council Member Funk.
Of course I will have a question, but just one. One of the things that we went over during the session in looking at mapping out some of the priorities is that we identified some of these as Measure D20 funding priorities and other things as other priorities for the city. Could you talk a little bit more about that and clarify how that distinction is being used so that our folks who are looking for, you know, what are we going to do with that D20 money in particular, know how that's flowing through the process?
Absolutely. And obviously, we're going to go through that a lot more at the April 27th meeting. You know, we'll be looking focused primarily on D20 during that meeting and the dollars that are attached. I don't have the focus areas or the prioritization in front of me right this moment, but for the most part, the prioritization of the D20 funds were those things such as police staffing, fire, facilities, things, you know, infrastructure, those things that kind of have been identified and talked about in the past. Some more of those quality of life things, some more of those economic development things may still have been a high priority of the council, but were not necessarily a Measure D20 priority. Again, April 27th, we'll have a lot more. I'll have the report from the facilitators and have a lot more detail behind that.
Great. Thank you.
And that's the meeting we're all going to geek out on because we get to see the details and the numbers.
I know.
Well, I'm not seeing any other questions. And so I will go ahead and open up to public comment. If there is anybody on the webinar this evening who would like to address the council on this item, or if we have any callers, we'll ask Luke if we have any callers on the line.
We do not.
Okay. Anyone here in the webinar who would like to comment on this item? I see Mr. Oslin's hand.
Good evening, Council, once again, and our city manager, Rochelle Rickard. I want to say that the strategic planning meeting with those consultants were pretty good. I was shocked. I was shocked how we broke out. I was shocked that the public actually had involvement in the process. So I'd like to thank the city for that opportunity. And also, I think it hasn't been clarified enough, but strategic planning was not all about D20. It was about literally setting goals for the next 2 years for what the city is trying to accomplish. And D20 was just a part of it. So we can figure out those funds. The other thing I would just add is infrastructure. When we're talking infrastructure, we're talking like a backup generator or radios and communication that actually work with our police and fire and our city. It could also be vehicles and transportation, but we're not talking like we're going to go build a new city hall. And I just want to clarify that when we're talking about infrastructure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. I am seeing no other hands right now. I will ask our city clerk if we have any comment that has been received via email on this item.
We do not.
Okay, thank you. I see a hand on Ms. Perkins. Welcome. You are muted. Ms. Perkins, you're muted. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but we cannot hear you. Luke, are you maybe able to unmute her?
There we go.
There you are.
And actually, Tom Colmar is sitting with me. He has a question for you.
Tom Colmar from Atascadero. Hi, everybody. The question I had was on the Santa Lucia exit in case there's a fire. And I know this came up years ago. And I think the city did do some work on Balboa that had been deteriorated into a ditch. And I just wonder, I thought I heard that in the report, that was something that someone had brought up. And I would be just interested to have follow-up on that, if there's any, that road works down there. I haven't been down there for a while, but as an exit in case there was a wildfire.
Okay, and just go ahead and ask any other questions you have and any other comments, and we'll address that when we close public comment.
Okay.
Is there anything else that either of you has?
No, thank you. We're done.
All right, thank you both. And with that, I think, Laura, did I ask you if we had anything via email on this item?
You did, and we do not.
And we do not. Okay. And seeing no other hands, we will close public comment on this item and bring it back to council and staff. Mr. Oslin, it is safe to say that we are never going to build a new city hall. updated fire station maybe, but not a new city hall. So thank you, both you and Councilmember Funk, for clarifying that for the public. We're kind of in it and we know what we're talking about, but Mr. Oslin's right. Every 2 years, this is something the council does. When you have a new council that is sworn in and you're ready to start a new budget cycle, we go through what are the key priorities, and we can only have a small number of them, and then focus on those. What does that look like? Defining that, staff goes away, you know, and figures it all out, comes back with the magic, and we move forward in the budget cycle. This year, D20 is added into that. So those kind of, they complement each other and they sit side by side. Yet we do need to, you know, continually, you know, kind of make it clear that these are two separate things, but yet they do go together. So thank you both for that. And I would ask staff, maybe someone could answer Mr. Comar's question with regards to Santa Lucia exit in case of fire.
Yes, I can answer that. So Santa Lucia exit, we are working on replacing the Santa Lucia bridge that's there near Llano. It's on Santa Lucia. We have, as you know, a few weeks ago, you had some right-of-way purchases and agreements that we had to execute. We are in the process of doing that. We still have a couple of more pieces of property that we do need to secure contracts on. In order to do that project. The project has been through some design phases. As part of that project, we will also be repairing the small bridge that's on the end of Llano there that allows you to get over to Balboa. I will also tell you that as far as Balboa, while it's certainly not a road that one should be using, other than in an emergency, the fire chief in Public Works and I drove it last winter, and the fire chief and I were talking, and they just drove it the other day. We do check it to make sure that it is passable in an emergency, and so we continue to look at that. The fire chief has also looked at some other exit routes out of there, including going out through the ranch there. At the end of Santa Lucia, and there is another emergency exit road that goes right through people's property that is out there and that can also be used in emergency. So we continue to look for ways to maximize potential evacuation routes, and that's in addition to all the work that we are doing with Zone Haven, where we're actually running scenarios and traffic models on that.
Wonderful. And as we get that information about those alternative routes, we're sharing that with the neighbors in that area.
Yes. We went through, they did a drive-through through the ranch with some of the neighbors, so everybody knew which way to get that. For the neighbors that the evacuation route is actually going through their yard, we're still working with them because obviously they don't want people saying, oh, let me go try this evacuation route. And driving through their route, their yards, potentially causing damage. But certainly in an emergency, they were very receptive to people being able to do that. So
wonderful.
Thank you.
See that Tascadero, where everyone knows your name, is willing to lend a hand. So perfect. Thank you very much. All right. And with that, I'll bring it back to council. We don't need a motion on this item, but are there any comments or anything further any council members would like to offer? All right. Councilmember Funk.
I just would like to thank all the members of the staff who got in there and typed notes and facilitated conversations and made themselves available to a host of questions that people brought up in these sessions. I attended several of the sessions and was really impressed with the quality of the interaction. And I want to thank Rochelle and all the staff for the extra effort that it took to set aside that time so that our public can be really, really well engaged.
Yes, well said. All right. With that, we will go ahead and move on to our discussion item D1 or D1 and 2. I don't know why I hate that, but we have typically for the last year now, 1 year almost, I think it was actually a year ago, this meeting was our last meeting in City Hall until we tried to have one kind of middle of the way and we're wearing masks and it wasn't pretty and we stopped doing that. So Mark's just about a year, but we put this on the agenda just so if there's any updates, anything that we need to be talking about. Of course, you know, the good news we know is that we're in the red tier now And when you look at our adjusted case rate and our positivity rates, both overall countywide and for the Healthy Places Index census tracts, both positivity rates, one of them is actually in the yellow tier. The other one is perilously close. So if those were actually to both go in the yellow tier, I believe city manager would correct me if I'm wrong, but if we were in the yellow tier for 2 weeks with that, even if our case count was still in red, we could move into orange. But our case count is getting closer and closer. Right now, adjusted case count is 5.7, and we need to be under 5 for orange. So that is that's kind of where we stand right now. But I will turn it over to our city manager for anything that you would like to provide.
I don't have a lot, but I would really strongly like to encourage everybody that is eligible for a vaccination to sign up. They actually have implemented the lottery system where everybody signs up at once and then they'll notify you when there are available appointments. They have had problems getting people signing up for that lottery system and thus have had, available appointments. I think as of yesterday, we're still looking for people for this week. So 65 or older or one of the other eligible groups, please sign up now. There are appointments, and we want to get everybody through as quickly as possible. And if they're out of appointments this week, that will get you signed up automatically for the next, available appointment out there. So there's no reason to delay signing up. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah, the nice thing is you don't have to be there waiting and trying to get on at the right time or something like that. You just get in once and you're done. So
that's it.
Yeah. Any questions from council or comments with regards to anything COVID-related? Seeing none, I will go ahead and open up for public comment. If there's any members of the public on our webinar, if you'd like to say speak to anything with regards to COVID, you can go ahead and raise your hand and we'll bring you on. I will ask Luke if we have anyone on the phone wishing to address this item.
We do not.
Thank you. And I'm seeing no hands. I will ask our city clerk if we have anybody who has emailed us that has anything they wanted to say with regards to COVID.
We do not.
Okay, thank you. So with that, we will go on to council announcements and committee reports. And so I will just kind of go on my screen here and we'll start with Council Member Funk.
Okay, let's see. On Thursday at 2, we've got a design review committee meeting where we are going to be discussing design review of an addition to a building at 5880 Ardilla Avenue. Involving a second story to that building. I met with the Homeless Services Oversight Council's Encampments Committee last Friday, and we'll have a meeting with the full HSOC, as we call it, on the 17th of March, where at that time we're going to be reviewing a set of recommendations from the Encampments Committee about alternatives to encampments that are an issue. We saw this when we were working on creek cleanup here in Atascadero, and they are an issue in communities throughout our county of concern, folks who are living out in the open that are tarps and tents and various other kinds of arrangements. So they are looking for alternatives to that. This was something that Supervisor Bruce Gibson asked HSOC to develop. And one portion of that are these alternatives. And that package will be going to HSOC for recommendation to the County Board of Supervisors and with discussion coming around to the cities. HSOC is also working on updating the 10-year plan for ending homelessness in the county, or at least addressing it. There's a real push to look at parts of, we have to think on a 10-year time frame about issues about this, the overall stock of affordable housing at the kind of money people can get on an SSI check. But we don't want the more immediate concerns to wait for us to think in the 10-year time horizon. So there's a real push for action now, in addition to looking at a long-term perspective. That's it for me.
Thank you. Council Member Borbeau.
Yes, tomorrow the Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting has been canceled, which is good because I'll be on a long Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting where the primary item of discussion will be the first reading of an ordinance that would rescind polystyrene ordinance that was passed in 2019 and whose implementation was suspended due to COVID last April. And so that'll be a significant meeting tomorrow for the IWMA.
Thank you. And Council Member Darris.
I have no reports.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
We have a design review committee, as Council Member Funk said, tomorrow. And nothing else to report.
Thank you. I had a regional transit authority meeting last week. Nothing of real significance. The bus maintenance facility continues to be underway and should be finished a year from February, so less than a year to go. So good news on that front. We had our Economic Vitality Corporation meeting, and it was officially the last meeting. They did vote unanimously to accept the agreement with Reach and to be merged with Reach, and so that is underway. So a little bittersweet to, you know, after 25 plus 26 27 years, this organization and the tremendous work that it's done, and so many members of our community that have been a part of it and countywide. So, but their good work will continue in concert with Reach, and looking forward to being part of that effort. And on March 19th, we will be hosting via Zoom, but hosting the countywide mayor's meeting, and looking forward to having Chief Bryson talk about Zone Haven, the Know Your Zone. And I know that he has been in communication with the other fire chiefs, and I think countywide, they're really excited about the possibility and looking for funding sources. And so I thought it would really be good for the mayors to see what the potential is, especially if we're all able to work together, which I think would be pretty amazing. So, and if that, let's see, move on to individual determination or action. We've got the city manager one. Before that, I will ask if there are any other individual determinations or actions before we get to the one from the city manager. Seeing none, I will bring it to the city manager, Ms. Rickert.
Thank you, Mayor. At the last council meeting, the council asked me to bring back some information related to placing community choice Central Coast Community Energy on a future agenda item. There were four specific things that the council asked me to look into and bring back information on. First of all, the timing and what we would have to do in order to be able to adjoin, what options we have for placing it on the agenda, how much staff time do we estimate this would take, and what would be delayed if we did put this into our spring work plan. Let me go through some of the timing first. We did reach out to Central Coast Community Energy, 3Cs, in order to be considered for this cycle. The city would have to adopt an ordinance and have the second reading of the ordinance by August 15th. And then from the August 15th meeting, or the August 15th deadline, if the council did adopt an ordinance by then, the 3CE board would then consider our membership requests at their September 16th meeting. If the request was approved by the 3CE board, an application would be sent to an implementation plan would be sent to the CPUC by December 31st. We would then have a one-year waiting period, and if we did that this summer, we would residents and businesses would be eligible for the service in January of 2023. So if we were to do it at a later time, that would be pushed off by how many ever years. On agenda items, council has a few options as far as agenda items. First of all, they could direct staff to go ahead and bring back an ordinance and put it on an agenda. That would then require two agenda meetings. It would be an ordinance and a public hearing at the first, and then it would be on the consent agenda on the second meeting. Council could direct staff to do a staff report with information, but not bring back the ordinances. That would be a management report. And then if the council decided at that meeting they wanted to move forward in joining the three CEs, we would have two more meetings, those public hearings that we talked about for the ordinance. Council could also direct staff to say, hey, we want to have a presentation, but we don't want a staff report, but we want to talk about it and have public input and have a discussion about 3CEs, talk about the merits of joining and all of that. We can do a pretty much it's a special area of the agenda similar to COVID or something like that. We can do that, and that could be on the agenda. And then if as a result of that item, council directed staff to bring back the ordinances, we would then have the public hearings with the first and second reading. You could have a presentation from 3CE at that or not. It would be at the council's pleasure. So those are your options on types of ways to put it on the agenda. Council asked me how much time and staff time would this take to pull this together, and the answer is it really depends. You know, if you wanted 3CE provide sample ordinances, resolutions, staff reports, if you say, hey, just take theirs and put it into our format and put it on the agenda, there's no need to do any further research or, you know, change or do any of that. You're probably looking at about 30 hours to implement it, 30 to 40 by the time we negotiate the contracts and get everything done that we need to get done in order to be ready for that September 16th meeting for that. Obviously, anything on top of that, typically staff would not just take, you know, 3CE staff report. There would be some additional research involved. It would depend on what you guys wanted to see, whether it was, you know, simply verifying the things in the staff report, whether you wanted us to look at the policies and what's been going on with that, whether you want to research the legalities of, you know, hey, what responsibility does the city have for assets and liabilities if the JPA fails? If you want us to research what are other cities, what other options do cities consider, you know, and what maybe some experience of people that have been in CCEs, community choice programs, for a longer period, what have that had? All of that type of stuff would be on top of that 30 to 40 base hours, and it really just depends on what it is the council would like to see. And the last thing on, you know, we have a very stretched staff and a full work program ahead of us. So as you try and insert those hours, whatever that number may be, by default, something is going to be put off. We're just not at the place where we can just add those hours to a staff that is already working a lot of hours. You know, some of the things that we're working on right now, you know, budget action plan, D20, D20 reporting and transparency implementation, you know, those could be put off, but not very easily, right? You'd still have to adopt a budget by July 1st, at least a working budget, and those types of things. There are some things that we are working on that have contractual deadlines, so we can't really put some of those things off, whether there be service fee updates, some of our grant programs you have to get done by a certain time, things like the Trafficway Sidewalk Project. That's going on right now. You can't just say, hey, stop, I need to find 40 hours to do this. There are some things that have deadlines imposed by others, right? We're working with Senator Laird on SB 438. We have SB 1383 coming. We have, there's lots of those. I can't remember them all right now. But they're Del Rio Ranch, right? So Del Rio Ranch is coming on March 23rd. They want a general plan authorization. We want to work on that. La Plaza is going on. Pickleball. There's a lot of things coming that we're just going to work on because there's others pushing us to do that and get it in time. And then there are some things that can be delayed. There was a group very interested in doing some work under the 101 bridge and what can we do to make that more inviting and so it doesn't turn into the litter and graffiti filled place that it is and have an ongoing program for that. And we had hoped to get to that this spring. Those types of things can be delayed. I know you guys were hoping I would come back with one thing and say, hey, this is what we recommend will be delayed. Realistically, it's hard to do that. I think that creek cleanup will definitely be delayed, but I think that what will happen is that everything will be just be delayed a little bit and be a little bit less than, than we will. We're going to spend a little bit less time than we should on maybe D20, and we'll all just put up with answers of, hey, we don't know that. But they'll still be good. And I think, honestly, your staff will just, hey, instead of 70 hours a week, we'll try 75 this week and try and get that too. I think I would be disingenuous if I told you anything different because we realize how important these are, the projects that we're working on to the community and to the council. This is there too. I mean, we don't tend to work on things that just aren't that important. That's kind of the realism. And hopefully that answered the questions that you were looking for. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any others.
Rochelle, I would ask, you did say in answer to the how much time question, you said, probably in the 30, more likely 40 hour range, if we kind of went the cookie cutter process, slap this into here and change the words and the names and kind of move with that. But then you said there were all these other, things that if we want to look into this and understand this and legality and those things.
Yeah.
But I know you just said it depends. So does it depend mean that's another 20 hours? Does that mean that's another 80 hours or all of the above?
It would depend on what would council's expectations be. Do you want me to have talked to the maybe cities that weren't part of this, but part of another CCE that's been around longer. Do you want me to research? I would think that reasonably, if this wasn't a cookie cutter, we're probably in the 80 to 100 hour range. To do the research where staff feels comfortable knowing, how 3CE works, what we're getting into, what other cities have experienced, some of the legalities are to get there. And that would be more in the 80 to 100 range.
Thank you. And with that, I'll look to the council for any questions. Council Member Funk.
Yeah. If... go with community choice energy this year, the Tawny you mentioned, the savings in energy costs that would accrue to the city, which is a power customer, would start kicking in within the cycle of the current budget. To what extent do we need to make a decision on CCE and time that this could be incorporated into the budget development?
So with the current CCE program, the 3% rebate level does not necessarily have a material effect on the budget. We're talking, under $10,000 in a $21 million general fund budget. By the time you add wastewater and some of those other big ones, we're there. For the city, staff tried to look at that a little bit this week. It would probably be a wash in that the 30 to 40 hours ongoing that you're going to spend every year on just being a member of a JPA, right? You're a member of the JPA. There's going to be certain actions you need to take. You need to review agendas and make sure you know what's going on. It will probably be a wash against the cost of those hours is a wash against the savings that we will realize at this point and kind of in the future. So it's not a huge driver of the budget. So I don't think that that's going to be an issue.
I mean, we could resolve this after the budget cycle and that won't create difficulties for Jerry this year.
Okay. Correct. For adoption of the budget itself. Now, remember the D20, we said we're going to put out a big report and stuff, and that's going to still keep the budget cycle alive through July. And so we're right there at that July dates. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other council questions? If I don't see any other council questions, I'm going to go to the public. Any council questions? I see none. I will go ahead and open up public comment, and I will look to the hands of the webinar attendees. And we will start with Mr. Wyman. And Mr. Wyman, you are muted.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Right. Oh, so good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Ray Wyman. And regarding 3CE and the staff time, I don't want your staff to spend 75 hours doing this. But if the time comes when they are asked to look into 3CE, I urge very strongly they first contact cities like Atascadero who are already familiar with this topic. I'm going to send your city manager contact information for five people who are members of the 3CE policy board, and they represent cities with population similar to Atascadero's. I think this would be really quite useful and save staff time. I'm sure that these cities have looked into the questions that you've asked about liabilities and so forth. So your city manager will get that list of those five people. Kudos, by the way, though, to the Kiwanis. As Council Member Borbeau knows, I'm a great spotter and reporter of graffiti, so I'll continue to keep my eyes open. So thank you for letting me comment.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for keeping those eyes open. and next I see Mr. Cook. And I show you're muted, Mr. Cook.
Okay.
Now there you go.
Hey, hi. My name is Dan Cook, and I'd like to ask the council to support community energy. Of course, I want to save money on my electric bill, and I do want to do the right thing for the environment. But to do that now, I have to put up solar panels, which I find to be very unattractive. I designed and built my house in a farmhouse style, and the roof appearance is an integral part of the overall presentation. If I put 20 shiny black boxes up there, it would just look terribly out of place. Please allow homeowners like me who take great pride in our homes and love the uncluttered roof look to have the opportunity to take advantage of community energy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
And looking for the next hand raised in our webinar. I see Mr. Oslin.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, once again. I think looking into community energy may be an option for the future, and based on what I experienced in strategic planning and what our city has on our plate this year, my suggestion would be to come up with a firm date to put it on the agenda, and I'd like to see it maybe put on the agenda in late January, early February of 2022, realistically. That also gives us time to see how our neighbors in the north of us in Paso go through this in year one. Gives us a little time, and we'll take some heat off of our staff. That's my personal view. It's also some views of some other folks we've talked to. It really does not affect me personally. I have solar on the business and my residence. So I'm just thinking long-term for the city. Let's put a firm date on. Let's do it in a year and address it properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. And I see a Ms. Edwards, possibly. You are muted. There you go. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Hello, everyone. I just want to thank you for bringing this agenda item to the forefront. I'm a big supporter of clean energy, and I think that this is a forward move for our city. You know, everybody teases us for being podunk Atascadero, and I think this is a very forward move, and I support it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. And looking to any other hands that might be raised. Luke, do we have any callers on the line that would like to speak?
We do not.
All right. Any other hands? Seeing none, I will ask our city clerk if we have any public comment on this item to be read into the record.
We do have a handful of emails to read. The first one is from Margie Bauer. Atascadero has been making great progress over the last decade or so. We still have work to do, and I appreciate that the council is not resting, but continuing to find ways to improve. Instead of discussing again changing to an alternate energy supply company, we have more important problems on our plate that need to be addressed. Our police department is understaffed. SLO city police officers are paid 30% more than our officers. Our fire trucks are old and need replacing, and the fire stations are also in need of repair. Prioritize council time to immediate needs. The jury is still out on 3CE. Push that experiment to the back burner. The next one is from Juanita McDaniel. I give you council members a lot of credit for being able to sit through these long meetings and then attend on your own time more county meetings. Please remember to prioritize our immediate concerns and problems. Don't waste your valuable time on areas where we don't have a problem, like PG&E. An alternate company was already discussed, researched, and it was decided that we are good. Move on to more pressing items. The next one is from Kathleen Goebel. 1 year ago, a friend of mine was looking for a rental house within Atascadero city limits. She wanted to move back to where she was born and raised. However, finding an affordable place that would accommodate her and her small dog took 3 months. Unfortunately, I have heard of it taking others longer to find affordable housing in Atascadero, and I know some who are still looking. The city council needs to find a solution to the affordable housing issue in Atascadero first. Residents cannot afford higher utility bills. I urge the city council not to consider agendizing Central Coast Community Energy. The next email is from Susie Anderson. Our city has done a great job on being open to new ideas and finding creative ways of solving problematic conditions. But we also don't need to continually revisit agenda items that were already thoroughly discussed, like Monterey Power, which evidently wasn't well received because they've already changed their name to 3CE. Atascadero has a great need for housing. As a realtor, I see the demand for affordable homes. There simply isn't enough supply. However, there are ways that the city council can help increase the supply of affordable homes to purchase or rent. Let's stick with the right decision by the council to move on to other issues, continue to use PG&E, who is using more and more green sources, and work on things that actually need fixing, like the availability of affordable housing. The next is from Mike Jackson. I am against the city moving forward with any action that would bring 3CE into the city of Atascadero. We do not need to move forward on this. We need to watch and analyze the results of other cities that have joined 3CE. There is no rush to move forward on joining 3CE. The next is from Niall Ketcherside. My friends in Paso Robles have received their first bills from Central Coast Community Energy, has taken effect for those that did not opt out. I want to thank Atascadero City Council for previously voting against Central Coast Community Energy and waiting for more data to come from our neighboring cities and counties. I ask that you please wait to agendize this topic. Our city has bigger issues that are more pressing. Between COVID recovery and lack of basic housing, there are bigger items that need to be addressed before Central Coast Community Energy. The next is from Michelle and Adam Morcos. Atascadero is facing some major issues that need to be sorted out this year. We need better retention for our police force, and we need to help our homeless population. Please do not spend time on agendizing Central Coast Community Energy until you have solved these basic needs for our city. And the final is from Jan Wolf. I appreciate the fact that the Atascadero City Council is continuing to solicit opinions from the community regarding the manner in which the city should prioritize the funds and time regarding Measure D20. The homeless population is huge in our city. Public safety is equally important, and we should be spending our resources on those issues. We should be supporting our law enforcement and fire service staff. We should be trying to find solutions to our growing homeless problem. These issues are very important to me and to my neighbors. I do not hear anyone asking about Central Coast Community Energy. We have all seen the disaster in Texas with the retail takeover of energy there. Please do not agendize this item when our neighbors and friends need solutions to much more important issues. And those are all that we have received.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. And I will look one more time to the webinar. If there's anyone who has not yet spoken who would like to, if you would please raise your hand. Going once, going twice. And okay, we will close public comment on this item and bring it back to council.
Mayor, we do have one caller just called in.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Welcome, caller.
Give me 1 second to bring him up.
And the caller, it shows as muted.
Yep. Give me.
Thank everyone for their patience with technology while we are in these.
But unmute. It doesn't have any.
There we go. Okay.
We've got you now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
What a.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Okay.
Ms. Brown, you need to mute your computer.
There is
speaker.
No mute on here, and you could not see me raise my hand. Let me leave the meeting. Okay, now I can speak to you, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I turned off my computer. My name is Marty Brown, and I wanted to speak on the 3CE problem here, but I couldn't get through. I am pleased that my city is discussing the possibility of giving us the option of community choice energy. They now serve over 10 million California customers, supplying clean, renewable energy at a savings. In fact, customers in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, benefited over $2 million in lower rates in 2020. Central Coast Community Energy invested over $12 million in local energy programs. I attended a study session here in February to determine highest priorities for the Measure D20 funds. The staff presentation was enlightening and troubling as to the lack of adequate funding for essential departments such as fire and police. The city thanked Atascadero voters for passing Measure D20. Cost cutting is another way to generate money for city services. electricity annually costs the city $600,000. Joining Central Coast Community Energy, 3CE, would lower that cost. Plus, we'd have a seat on the policy board or share one with our sister city, Paso Robles, which signed on in 2019. Every city in this county has enthusiastically signed on with 3CE, and their feedback has been positive. The past year has been difficult on businesses and residents alike. I'm thinking about the Gallery Theater, for instance, the Galaxy. Plus 3CE will waive the cost of joining PGE data fees and CPUC filing fees. That means no cost to join. Please give us the option. If we sign on by August of this year, we wouldn't begin 3CE service until January of 2023. There's plenty of time to ask questions and get answers. No one is obliged to stay with 3CE if not satisfied. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. And I do see Ms. King is in the webinar and would like to speak. Ms. King.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Perfect. So I am really glad this is coming back up in front of the City Council. I think that this is an opportunity for the City Council to put an issue onto the agenda that shows a big picture view for our town. It's a way that we can give an option to people, to join into community energy. No one's obliged to join. It's literally called community choice. This is a great opportunity for people to choose the energy that's clean and renewable rather than PG&E. It's an opportunity to save money in our town. It's just, there's so many great things about it. I realize that it will take a lot of staff time to do the proper amount of research and investigation, but as the last caller said, you know, even if we enroll this year, 2021, by August, we don't really join until 2023. And I really don't think that we need to put it off anymore. So I really urge the City Council to put this on the agenda as a pretty urgent matter so that we can get it on the agenda and join by August of this year, so that at the very least, we have the choice to join community energy by 2023. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Keene. And I will look one last time. Is there anyone else on the webinar who has not yet spoken that would like to? Or Luke, is there anyone on the phone who's popped on?
We have no additional callers.
All right. And I am seeing no hands. And with that, we will go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the council for discussion. Councilmember Borba.
Yes, I held off on asking any questions. For the city manager, one of the things, one of our priorities is economic development, has been, still is. And earlier this evening in our consent agenda item, we, based on our approval last meeting, we authorized the creation of a deputy community development director focused on economic and community development. And I'm wondering to what extent looking into 3C, to the extent of writing whatever staff report we deem necessary, would be appropriate for that person to do, because this is most assuredly central to economic development in the sense that I don't want to be soliciting businesses to come to this town and have to tell them we're the only city in the county that doesn't allow businesses a choice and an opportunity to save money on their electricity costs. And I'm also wondering if it would be, I was kind of hoping we'd have this discussion, let's say in May, about putting this on the agenda for July, just so we'd be a little further down the road as far as having that person on board, a little further down the road as far as being able to talk to Paso Robles about their implementation. But I'm just thinking that, that person would be an appropriate person to do some of the necessary work, because in my mind, the only reason I look at this is as an economic development tool and opportunity, and also for our residents to have the opportunity to save money and a choice. So I'm wondering if we could comment on how we might be able to utilize that person when they come on board, if we decided, let's say around May, that we want to put this on the agenda for July. And then I did have another question for you.
It would depend, obviously, on the skills that this person brings. Obviously, we hope to hire somebody that has the skills to do this. One of the reasons that we wanted to bring them on board now certainly is broadband, and the broadband consortium is heating up right now, and general plan and trying to get that kicked off. You know, certainly if it's the council's pleasure, we can push those back, keep half an ear, you know, kind of do what we've been doing on broadband for a few months more. And same thing with general plan, it'll just be pushed back a little bit. And then also Councilmember Borbo, certainly, the earlier staff knows, what they're putting in their work plan, the easier it is to plan a few months out. We're typically working on agendas 3 to 4 months in advance. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I think my other question revolved around, I think as many times as we've had kind of abortive discussions on this topic, it's clear, you know, certain questions are clear. And whether they're from the public or whether they're from council members. And of course, now we've always had the ability to go talk to other cities that have done this, but now we have the ability to talk to other cities right in our own county that have done this and you know, obtain benefit of their experience. But would it be helpful to you if, you know, council members in particular already know what some of their questions are, to put forward what those questions are, or to go ahead? I mean, you know, some of us, we are capable of doing some of our own research and asking these questions on our own, you know, being able to provide open documentation as to what the questions were, what the answers were, because I understand there's an apparent skepticism. We're not going to get and accept, without question information just from 3CE, the proponent of the, the folks who run this program. But I think in terms of getting information from other cities, it might be helpful if we could have others do some of that. We could have our chamber ask questions of businesses in these other communities in terms of what their experience is and report back to us. So I'm looking for those ways in which we could lessen the burden on staff in order to bring this back.
And certainly the more narrow the focus, right, and the more acceptance that if questions come up, we don't have those answers, the less staff time it will take.
All right, thank you.
Member Funk.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good opportunity here. The clearer we can be about what our questions are and concerns, the information that we have, that both fellow members of the council can look at that, or we can look at it ourselves. And we have a listening public that has a variety of skills and experience that might be willing to help us dig out good resources so that it's simple to, so that it, you know, if the staff is going to look at an issue, that, you know, here are, you know, the five, you know, places to go, or three places to go that have, that look at this, is here's a good summary of it from, you know, from wherever, and, you know, from a particular place, and help help make it easy for staff to go do that diligence. I have And I'm not troubled by the fact that in making that, we will be getting information that comes from people who have existing positions both before and against this this particular initiative. I worked on a congressional staff at the beginning of my career. And one of the things that was very clear in that environment in Washington was that the people who, the best information comes from people who are willing to invest in creating it and summarizing it, and making it clear. And that, and those people are people who have an incentive to do so, who have a position on the issue. So you try to get information from people with different sets of perspectives so that you can get a full picture. But it doesn't mean you have to avoid getting information from people just because they happen to have looked at this already and decided that their city wants to do it or has done it or that they support it for our city or that they oppose it for our city, any of those. So I think we can find ways to make this, you know, the research process easy. This, it's not that complicated. And it does generate substantial savings out into our community for businesses that we want to attract to our community, that we want to support, that are struggling financially. You know, a little bit of savings, you know, coming forward helps. It's also helpful for our taxpayers who, you know, who were there for us and supported D20, a way for them to save a little bit of money on their own power bills, or to get better rates on the solar energy that they produce on their roofs. So I think we can, if as a council, if we can surface what our remaining questions and concerns are, we can get some help on the research and just make that process easier so that we could, is something, and I'm with Charles on this one. I think that we need to have all the tools available in recruiting businesses and supporting businesses in our community and developing the future that we need. Those are council priorities, and spending money efficiently is a council priority. And those are things that came up in our D20 study sessions as well as along with the support for community choice energy. So I'm eager to hear what, concerns people have that would need to be addressed in a staff report so that we can help figure out how and when to accomplish that.
Thank you. So are you complete right now, Councilmember Funk?
I'm complete.
Thank you. And I'll ask if we have any other council comments or questions before I say anything myself. Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
I think it's overwhelmingly daunting for our staff to take on another project. Having looked at their list and having gone through strategic planning, I think that we are, it's nice to have choices, but I think for the timing, we're asking a lot of our staff. I think it's something that if it were done later in the year, would probably be a little bit more feasible. And I think that we'd be able to utilize our staff's times more efficiently and be able to actually have a cohesive report, because if staff seems to think it's going to take 100 hours to give us the information that we need, I want to make sure that they're doing the due diligence and giving us all the information, just not bits and pieces of it.
Thank you. Councilmember Darris.
Yeah, I think it's certainly responsible and the right thing to do to be able to present a detailed report to the public. I just don't think this is the right time or to do this. I think waiting till the next cycle is the best thing. The city staff obviously had a lot on their plate. This is an important year for budget, and we've got general plan, a number of things coming up. I don't think pushing projects back that they're working diligently on now is in the best interest of staff time. Starting and stopping projects, I know in my own business, doesn't mean that you pick up right exactly where you left off. It actually adds time to what you're doing. So I think, providing the information is important. I just think we should hold off. There's a lot of information that can be gained by waiting and not trying to rush into this. So that's my opinion.
Thank you, Councilmember Darris. So here's what I want to say. There are a lot of good things that we could look at as a city. We could look into 3CE. We could look into our vacation rental policy. We could look at bringing on non-city maintained roads. We could. There's a whole host of things that are very good things and that would benefit a good number of our residents. Our choice is always between good things, and that's how it is for most of us. Like in my business, I know the choice is always between good things. And there's a saying that the downfall of the great is the good. And when we're trying to do too many good things, the greatness falls by the wayside. And so as a business owner and someone in my own personal finances, I have to do this, but the city certainly has to look at what are all the options. And we can't do them all. We can't do all the good things that we want to do all of the time. And I know that, you know, myself sometimes having an issue that I think is really important and thinking, oh, we should be able to do this in less time. And it just, as much as I want it to be done in less time, that doesn't mean that it can be done in less time. And so if we think about one of the questions that was asked, what is urgent right now and what can wait? It seems to me that while this is something good that many people want, many people don't, there's, you know, not agreement on it, but I think it's something that's certainly not a bad thing to look into. But I think that it can wait. I don't think that it needs to be done right now. I think that is a big ask of the staff. And I know that one of my colleagues said that staff will always be overworked, and I don't think that that is a reason to overwork them more. And right now, during the budget cycle, this is in our general plan update that we're about to do. This is more significant than I would say my 8 years on council. So I think this year is not the year. I like Mr. Oslin's idea of looking at the first quarter of next year to be able to agendize it and have a full discussion, have the research done, have our questions answered, and really delve into, is this the right thing? I do want residents to know, those of you particularly who are very concerned about green energy. I know that if you go to PG&E's website right now, whether you're a fan of PG&E or not, isn't the issue, but if you go to their website, you will see that 100% as of 2019 of their energy is greenhouse gas free, and I believe 29% of it was renewable. They also offer 50% solar and 100% solar options, so those options are out there. I realize it's not maybe the robust menu that you're looking for right this moment, but I do want you to know that's available. There's another company that I've gotten some information from, but I don't know enough about them to at all recommend them, so I don't want to put that out there right now. So I would ask our city manager if we were to, you know, if we had agreement to look at this the first quarter of next year, is that something that we could kind of put in the plan, because we will still be in our general plan update, but that's an 18-month, you know, process. We can't, not necessarily can put everything off for 18 months. How do you see that working in?
It certainly feels it's far enough out. We can incorporate it into our work plan very easily. That tends to be a quieter time of year. Particularly if we get past the January, the audit, the financial plan, those types of things, maybe do that first meeting in February or second meeting in February. That tends to be a quieter time. I am pulling up my future agenda list right now because, believe it or not, we actually do have stuff scheduled out.
Knowing you, I believe it. Probably
right away.
Probably through this next budget cycle.
and that you know, there is no big item on either of the February meetings at this point.
And then would you have the time prior to that, having just finished the financials? Like I would want to make sure, like if you said, hey, we're doing the first or second meeting in February.
We can do that all through the fall and kind of get ready and move it along just as we're moving along, you know, all the other projects that we're tending to working on.
Okay. Councilmember Funk.
Yeah, I know that as one of the callers mentioned, that 3CE has offered to waive our fees for us if we join this year. Do you have an idea if they would continue to extend that offer should we not consider joining until another year?
I do not know. We did not ask him that.
And is that the fees for the city to join, or do they mean it's the impression I got was it was the fees charged to the residents that to move over, you're not charged any fee?
They're waiving the fee for the city to join. There's a cost to go through the CPUC yes. process. That was what they're waiving, is got my it. Understanding.
Thank you. Councilmember Borbo.
Yeah, Mayor, I'm glad you brought this up because I was thinking, you know, I mean, obviously, I'd rather discuss it this year, but I liked Mr. Roslin's suggestion, his fallback position. And so I think if, you know, you are willing, you know, that we provide staff direction, basically long-term direction, bring this back next February or so, you know, that's a reasonable compromise.
Would we have agreement from the council to look at giving staff, you know, ideally February, but let's say first quarter of 2022 so that gives our city manager the discretion to see where that best fits. But if it can be February, do we have an agreement on that?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like Councilmember Bobo, I'd rather see it go forward this year, but I can work with that compromise. I do think there's value sometime ahead of there at sort of specifying the planned date, in particular because it would be helpful for those people who are willing to help us do the research and help lighten the load for staff that way need a chance to plan that into their plans and to work with staff to facilitate that process.
Makes sense. All right. Is that sufficient direction for you, Ms. Rick?
And it may be a little bit too early. Are you thinking that we would bring back the ordinances at that time or just a discussion item? And I don't know, could be a perfectly acceptable answer. Either way, we'll do the research and have that set for you.
And I don't know if we know at this time what we're saying. My initial thought was doing the management report, like the in-depth going through all of that, doing the management report. And then if we decide to move, and get all the questions, do all of that. If we decide to move forward with that, then bringing back the ordinance. I guess it would depend upon what is the, and again, maybe not knowing right now, the difference in, other than besides three meetings, is there a significant difference in if you're going to put in the time, you might as well do it on the ordinance and put it all together and then say yay or nay at that first meeting? Or does it make sense to put that into three separate meetings? And the third one being the final reading yeah. if we decided to go forward with it.
Certainly there is less time if you just do the two meetings. Adding the ordinance does not add a significant amount of time to it. That being said, I would imagine if we had it on the management report and you said bring back the ordinance, that the ordinance staff report would look remarkably similar to the previous one. So it's certainly two meetings is less time consuming than what? Three. Yeah. Than three.
Well, and I would think if we were going to move forward and have the full robust discussion, it would help to have that ordinance that we'd be looking at and the potential agreement and all of that, so we can really, you know, have that full conversation. So if that reduces staff time and gives us more information that we might need to make a decision, I think that would make sense.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Bab, looks like we've got agreement. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you to my colleagues. Thank you very much to the attendees for all of you sharing your input on all sides of this. We really appreciate having an engaged public. And thank you for being here tonight through the D20 and strategic planning. And we hope that you continue with us because this is important work we're all doing. And with that, meeting adjourned. Bye for now.